This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing a lot of sports with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, we're going to talk a little bit of golf today. We're going to talk with the Diamond Classic as well as with their coach, Pat O'Keefe. And we'll talk about the NBA playoffs a little bit later on. So all things coming up today on Sports Talk 870. But right now we're going to talk with our good friend Greg Johnson out of Grand Rapids. And Greg covers golf, and the U.S. Open begins next week. So let's bring in Greg and talk a little golf with him. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, I was surprised reading it seems so shocking, basically, that David Duval didn't qualify for the U.S. Open. Lee Jansen didn't qualify. I mean, how, you know, it's just amazing. Duval used to be one of the best golfers in the world, and now he can't even qualify for the Open.
Well, it's not easy to qualify for the Open. I mean, once you've lost, your exempt status, where, you know, based on past finish and stuff, you have to go all the way through the qualifiers. And you got to have it those weeks and those days. And, you know, in the last stage, it's 36 holes against great players. So, you know, if you just don't have it those days, it's easy to miss. And I think that's what's happened with some of those guys. But yeah, David Duval is not the same golfer he was, you know, years ago. And then, and really, Lee Jansen's not the same golfer that won two U.S. Opens. He hasn't been the same. He's been bouncing around the nationwide tour this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what when you hear those names that were very familiar with you on the tour, and now they can't even make that's one of the toughest current tournaments. But, you know, it's just surprising. I mean, especially how far David Duval was. You know, he was one of the top in the world, and boy, he's just fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, you know, I don't know really all what happened there, but I he lost the desire to be a top golfer, and sometimes you lose your swing, and sometimes you make too many changes. You know, I don't know what all happened with him, but right, he's just not the same golfer he was at one time. I mean, he does have some good tournaments now and again, but and he still really is a great golfer by general standards, but he's just not the same one he was.
Hey, when you look at Tiger, I mean, you think Tiger will probably be one of the favorites to win the U.S. Open after winning last week. What do you think about his game right now?
Well, if it's the same, you know, that's the thing. It hasn't been consistent.
Yeah.
So, you know, one week he looks really good. Like, I thought he'd play well in the Masters because he looked so good in Florida before that. But it didn't turn out that way. So, you know, it's a little hard to tell. I wouldn't want to jump the gun too much. You know, he looked great last week. He seems to have gotten rid of that push right and the ugly hook and some of those things he was doing off the tee. He seems to be a little more confident. And, he made a miracle shot the other day, which is more Tiger, with kind of the stuff we're used to seeing from Tiger. So I would think that would help his confidence. So, I expect him to be in the hunt there. And at the Olympic Club, especially a California golf course, he's very used to those. He grew up in California, and it's a tough, tight golf course. It's going to determine who plays best.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll see. He'll probably be installed as one of the favorites for sure.
I think so.
Yeah, and he does look. He looked good. On Nicklaus's course, he played that very well, which is a tournament he's won five times. But he's tied to Jack now for just overall wins. He's still about four behind in majors. He's only 36, so, you know, you give him a chance. I mean, Nicklaus didn't win his last majors till he was 46, so you got to give him at least, about 10 years to win four tournaments. And I guess he can do it. Even if it's sporadically, he's going to win a few tournaments, and hopefully maybe he'll win. He can win those four majors coming up, or sometime coming up in the next few years.
Yeah, no doubt. It's time's on his side, Earl. You know, I mean, he's just not that old. And Jack won, you know, at age 46 at the Masters. So, it's probably his most miraculous Masters. So, you know, and Tiger's always stayed in pretty good shape. He does have the knee issues to worry about and things like that. But, you know, he seems to be healthy right now, and it's Achilles and all that. So we'll see. But yeah, time on his side. Golf is one of those games where, you know, look at Hale Irwin. He's still very competitive, and, you know, and he seems like he's been playing her for 50 years out there. But it's time on his side.
Yeah. Now, what about Phil? He you know, he's texting the commissioner because of all the tweetings and things and all the camera phones out on the golf course and people taking pictures of him and why withdrew from that other tournament. You know, do you look at how do you look at that? I mean, I never thought that was a big deal. I mean, gee, but maybe it is. It is to so many golfers.
Yeah, you know, it's never bothered me when they said you're gonna come in for a few hours, turn your cell phones off, you know. But it was a tournament just trying to, you know, say, hey, silence them and we'll let you have them and stuff like that. People really should refrain from taking pictures and all that stuff, you know, as much as they can, especially while the guy's actually in play. That's, you know, people have to understand it's a competition that means a lot to these people. But you know, it's obvious that Phil's thinking a little bit about too much about what's going on around him instead of what he's doing. So that's part Phil's fault too. You know, he always seems to overthink everything and overplan and overprepare and overplay himself. He does, you know, that's just kind of Phil's personality. So I think it's just another example. He was frustrated with how bad he played. He's not playing good going into a major. So it's probably driving him a little bit crazy and he's lashing out.
Yes, it's sad to see. I mean, you hate to see so many. That to me loses a little respect for some golfers because they just don't concentrate enough on what they're doing. Like you say, you need to just concentrate more on what you're doing and what you have to do and not be ignore all those things, those side issues, things that are going on.
Yeah, well, you know, he's human. I mean, you know, people do, and it's not easy being an athlete like that with, you know, everywhere you walk, you know, there's 1,000 people trying to take some kind of cell phone picture of you. You know, that's a little tough to deal with. And when you're playing bad and, you know, you don't want to even have one picture taken, let alone 1,000. So, you know, it's just kind of human nature. I would like to hope he finds a little peace with that and just plays and can learn how to ignore it a little bit better. But maybe he never will. Maybe that's just part of his personality, you know. And the golf tournament should listen. You know, if there's players complaining about it, and he was complaining, you know, about some of the yells and stuff that was going on at that tournament. So, they need to readdress that and maybe think, okay, cell phones can only be used in certain areas and you can't take pictures during play. You know, they need to make a few more rules maybe.
Now, when you look at this tournament coming up, I mean, how many golfers would you say really have a legitimate chance of winning coming up at the U.S. Open?
Oh, at the U.S. Open, and it's really one of the best fields you get. I mean, maybe the only the field that's better would maybe be the PGA, and even then that's questionable. You know, the U.S. Open probably has the best field, but, I think there's probably 100 guys, I mean, really, that have the talent. It's whether they have it that week. It's probably more realistic about that there's probably 25 to 30 of them that are playing well right now. So, you know, you got to be playing well, and you got to have your game absolutely on at a U.S. Open because they set up the rough, they make the greens really fast. The Olympic Club has some really, really tough holes, some great slope in the greens and things like that. You know, it's going to be a player who's precise, who hits the ball well, a guy who really has total control of his game. And there's probably 25 of those guys out there right now, and I would think Tiger's one of them. And, you know, I don't, it doesn't look like Phil is, but he can be at any moment. You know, you never know what a good practice week will do for him. And, there's a lot of players, really. I would say if you looked at the top 25 in the world right now and the top 25 in the money list on the PGA Tour, that's probably your good group. That's probably out of that 50, about 30 of those are playing well, and it could be any one of those guys.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. I mean, it's such a good field, and you know, with Tiger playing well, that helps. But When you've looked at Tiger over the years, I mean, it's amazing when you look at the ratings of the tournament last week and how high it went up. Boy, when he wins, people tune in and watch it. Watch, they said that Nicklaus tournament had 189% more people following it just because Tiger was in the hunt and getting into the final, you know, to the finals. So, I mean, you know, he is the king as far as bringing in people to golfing events, isn't he? Still.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he changed everything. I mean, golf is fine without him and was doing fine without him, but they weren't a major TV player until he came along. He made them into a major TV player where they can demand, you know, more money, and they can demand, you know, more commercial money and everything else because they had Tiger, and he's an obvious draw. I mean, he changed everything when he came into the game, and he brought, you know, a whole group of people to watch that had never really watched golf all that seriously before. People that became just Tiger Woods fans. They're not necessarily golf fans. They're Tiger Woods fans. So he brought in this huge group. And so that changes things. Yeah, when he gets going, the Tiger Woods fans all tune in, and that changes everything. And I think even the casual golf fan who misses having a dynamic player like Tiger also gets more excited and watches. So I think it increases it across the board. And, you know, I mean, next week I'll be watching. I know that. Yeah. You know, part of it's Tiger. If he does really well, I'll be seeking out a TV, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, at the start of the week, I'll be at the Michigan Open, you know, and that's a whole different world. That's the best golfers in Michigan, but there's no Tiger presence there. There might be 300 or 400 people out there watching, and there'll be, you know, family and friends mostly involved. But, you know, and the papers will run small little stories. But when Tiger plays on the weekend in the U.S. Open, then that's a whole different deal. That's big stories in every paper and television and news, and a lot of it's Tiger Woods.
Okay, got a caller for you. John and Holt. John, how you doing?
Hey, good, Earl. Boy, that Diamond Classic was sad yesterday, man.
Wow. Yeah.
But anyway, I know we got to talk about golf, so I was going to ask Mr. Johnson if he's ever played Harbor Shores Golf Course in Glen Harbor, and where that course ranks among the public courses in Michigan and also among the public courses in the United States in terms of quality of courses. I think it's a tremendous course, and I spent 3 days over there for the senior PGA, and I think it was one of the best I've ever been to in Michigan. I've been to Oakland Hills. I've been to Warwick Hills and Grand Blanc. I've been to the courses here in Lansing, Eagle Eye, and I think it definitely compares with any of those courses.
Yeah, I was at the senior PGA, too. I was there working for a couple of magazines that week, and I have played it about 5 times. Harbor Shores is a tremendous golf course. Very hard. It's not an easy golf course at all.
It didn't look like it. I wouldn't even want to try playing it with my golf ability.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a I had fun there, but you have to be wary that it's definitely a Jack Nicklaus design. The greens are a little overdone, and they're built for, you know, really good golfers. And you know, there is plenty of room to hit the ball, which is kind of typical on a Jack course off the tee. But then it gets serious going to the green. You know, the bunkers are deep and hard, and it's a real strong golf course. As far as it comparing to others in the state, it's I don't think it's in the top 10 yet, you know, of the best public venues, because I think there's so many great ones in Michigan. But, you know, Arcadia Bluffs and the Orchards, where the Michigan Open's next week, and there's just on and on. There's tremendous public access golf courses. But it's really good, and it's only going to get better as it matures and as things grow in and they move things around and make adjustments. Even Jack was talking adjustments after he visited there last week. So, but it's a good golf course, and it's a little spread out. You certainly can't walk it.
I walked the whole way. I didn't take the shuttle at all, man. I definitely got my exercise for those 3 days I was there.
It's an interesting place and a beautiful place.
Can I ask one other question?
Sure.
Will Eagle Eye ever see a possible, like, senior PGA or LPGA tournament in the lifetime of that course, do you feel?
They certainly could do it. They certainly could handle that kind of event. And, you know, Lansing has the hotel rooms and the people and things like that. You know, what it's missing is a title sponsor. Obviously, it used to have an LPGA event in Lansing, and then Oldsmobile pulled out. Well, you know, that's the title sponsor is the big key. Somebody's got to be willing to pay, you know, somewhere between $2 and $4 million to get a tour event to come.
Oh, Jack,
they
got
to write that big check. So,
Jack, National Life, if you people are listening, please step forward.
Yeah. Well, if somebody comes up with the money, Eagle Eye is a perfect place.
It's a wonderful course. I played it several times, and I would definitely say that ranks up there with the top courses in Michigan as well.
Oh, yeah, that one's up there. That's in the top 10, I think, already. That's a great
golf course. Absolutely. That's a great golf course. Hey, thank you for taking my call. Have a tremendous day, and I appreciate it. And, Earl, you need to get taller, man, because I know you had trouble seeing at that game last night, man.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, John.
Take care, man.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, hey, Greg, it's a pleasure having you on with us. It's always a pleasure talking golf with you, and I'll call you back again, and we'll talk some more. We'll have a few other majors coming up and a few other tournaments, so we'll look forward to talking to you later on again, my friend.
All right, good deal, Earl. Thanks, and keep track of the Michigan PGA next week, too, early in the week.
Okie dokie. Thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Greg Johnson talking golf with us right here on AM 870, 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Recall results resonate through Wisconsin, primary results in four other states, and surprise, a new survey shows we're more polarized than ever. I'm Neil Conan. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, plus former Romney foreign policy advisor Richard Grenell on the hyper-partisan discussion of personal issues that led him to resign. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Today will be partly sunny. We could get some rain and thunderstorms, the high 75. Partly cloudy tonight, the low in the mid-50s. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow. There is a slight chance of light rain. Thursday's high in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny and a high of 80 Friday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Grand Ledge captured the 51st edition of the Diamond Classic last night. Pat O'Keefe has been the head coach for 21 of them, and Grand Ledge has won 23 of them. You know, Grand Ledge has a very special relationship with the people and everybody that's helped organize and get in the Diamond Classic. And the kids, they really love playing in that field. But let's bring in and talk with the coach who also got his 1,100th victory last night. So, Coach, how you doing today?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, that was a special game. Like you say, you probably haven't had a team that hit that well. I mean, 15 runs, 17 hits. That was an awesome performance.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was one of those games in which as that saying goes, about the perfect storm. It just didn't seem like we hit anything at East Lansing. And as I said before, you know, they've got good outfield, and Tom Beedling in the center field, he runs down everything. But it was just the right center field, left center field. Earl, it was just one of those performances that the kids, and it just even when you're part of it, you were kind of in awe of it.
Yes, I mean, boy, when I look at that second inning, all those doubles they hit. I mean, the guys were hitting some shots, and then when Will hit that home run to top it off, I mean, that was whoo. I mean, you know, he had two doubles and a home run. I mean, you know, he was really special. Everybody hitting, and they weren't just cheap singles. I mean, they were really hitting the ball last night.
Yeah, and of course, we say a lot of times that hitting is contagious, and it certainly was. And normally you can't maintain that throughout a game because after you've gotten a couple hits, you kind of lose your focus, and maybe, just the percentages say that you're going to pop up or hit a fly ball or, you know, swing and miss or whatever. But it just didn't happen last night. Our kids were fortunate to have the focus on for the whole game.
Yes. I know this. I don't know the answer to this question, but winning 21, does any of them really stand out? Or maybe that one was stood out the most. You know, when you look back at them, you won 23, Grand Ledge won 23, and you've been the head coach at 21 of them. Does any of them stand out, or were they all just all great to wins?
Well, they're pretty, you never forget, you know, your first one that we won in 1974, and you know that one was kind of special. And then there's been some over the years. But they, no, Earl, they are really special. And of course, if it's after you've been knocked out of the state tournament or whatever, it's last time that the kids put the uniform on, and so you know those make it a special thing. But no, they it's been a wonderful run, and so I've enjoyed it, obviously.
Yes. Now I know when they have the coin toss, usually take becoming the first team at bat. How did you develop that strategy of going just wanting to go up and hit first when you win the coin toss?
Well, we usually I let Melody do that. She decides whether we're going to be the home team or the visitor. So. And of course, obviously, you know that I say that tongue in cheek. It's just something that we've developed over the course of time and everything. You still have to go out and make the plays and
yes.
Do everything. So, we've had our success, that's for sure.
Yes, and the kids. A lot of them start out playing baseball in elementary school, which is a good plus for your community and for your area. Kids get interested in baseball at a very early age.
Yes, we have a good recreation program, and then we pass it on to Pony Colts, and they do a great job. And our longtime announcer and my neighbor and friend Bob Bauk, who passed away unexpectedly this past year, and of course we lost our scorekeeper of almost 30 years, Charlie Peabody. So Bob was a great influence on the program, and all he ever cared about were the kids and seeing them develop and play. So it's a passionate sport in our community of Grand Ledge.
And since the move to the Jackson Knife Life, the field there. How is that? I know the kids love to playing there, but how has that been received overall? Do all the kids like playing there, or does the old place hold some special memories?
Well, the municipal, which is now Kirshner Park, mm-hmm. Held a lot of special memories for people like myself. But ever since we've gone down to Cooley. Law School Park, that's been a special thing. A lot more people can come out. It's a lot more comfortable venue and everything. But you can get bigger crowds and everything. But it gets more expensive to run those tournaments every year. So any of your listeners out there, we always need sponsors. And Larry Cockcroft and Dean Shippey and everything, and there's a lot of work behind the scenes. I mean,
yes.
Larry does that, Earl, 12 months of the year. I mean, he's at this, he and his wife Rita. The community is blessed, and the Mid-Michigan area is blessed. They have somebody that picked up where Ship left off, and to do just. And I know Mike Bry and some of the other people in the community have. Step forward to help Larry, but it's a lot of work, Earl.
Yes, I mean, I've been affiliated with, at least covering it for about 30 years or so, and you're right, there's a ton of work behind the scenes, and I'm just amazed it's still going 51 years for sure. We don't have many tournaments like that, and yet they've been able to keep this one going, so, you have to have good people behind it and working with it, because they've certainly been able to keep it going, that's for sure.
And the kids have benefited. I mean, look at all the years that we've covered it, and it moved from having a couple scholarships, which was a drawing in the past, to now all 10 teams receive a $500 scholarship and everything. And that's just a credit to a bunch of people that are educators and past educators and people that have said, we... The Diamond Classic Committee has put its money where its mouth is and has benefited a lot of young athletes in their pursuit of higher education, too.
Yes, and when I look at that, and I was looking in the paper today at the all the wins that Grand Ledge has had, and it's funny how you won four in a row, you won three or four in a row before, and you have these two year lapses where you don't get anything done, and then you get on a roll again. Boy, this next one now you've been won four straight. I know you'll continue to try to win it, but boy, it's one of those things because you just never know who's going to get in, do you? From year to year, you always have good competition. That's the thing I like about the Classic, the competition. Every team that gets in, I think you'd have to say they have a legitimate chance to win.
Right, and that's the fun part of it, I think. And it gives the kids an opportunity to showcase high school athletics, in the mid-Michigan area. And I'll say this to all your listeners. There isn't a better penny spent in public education than's being spent in the what often is referred to as the extracurricular activities. It just is something that makes young people's lives and enriches it and makes it a lot better.
It does. I know I asked you before, and I think you gave me this answer. I asked you, do you miss coaching football at all? I guess the further you get away from football, I guess you probably don't miss it as much, do you?
Well, I miss it the most now, Earl. It's like in the season where, all the excitement and there's nothing better than high school athletics, in my opinion. But when you're looking at the amount of work that our head football coach Matt Bird and the local coaches all around the state, how much time they put in, it used to be the preseason, and of course you did some weight room stuff, but now with the 7-on-7s and the camps and everything else that you do, it's truly amazing, and like I said, there isn't better money spent in public education. And if they paid the coaches for their time, and even if they gave them $1 an hour, I mean, they're working for peanuts, and you're not getting paid in those off-season camps and everything. There's a lot of dedication, and I think that Diamond Classic is a prime venue for people to see, how much athletes and how much they've improved and the quality of the play.
Yes, that's for sure. Hey, Pat, now, being around the Diamond Classic and all the things that it does for the years, and like you say, you have so many great people, it's affected so many kids that they get a chance to play and get a chance to showcase their skills. Probably helps them. I guess many of them, we know there are a lot of scouts at the game, college scouts, professional scouts, so that's had to help a lot of kids get a look at for their future. Some probably have gotten the scholarships off of what has happened in the Diamond Classic.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of exposure, and we appreciate what the media and the Lansing State Journal and the TV stations and everybody and the radio people like yourself that have done for us. That helps to bring, and there aren't many programs that would ever say that they have 51 years under their belt. I mean, that's a credit to the people and to the community. I think the Mid-Michigan communities have all benefited. But you bet. I mean, Justin Allman and those guys have shown their talent and certainly have brought a lot of recognition. And so you're right, Earl. It is beneficial for them.
Yes, just looking at last night, Blake Dahlstrom, he pitched a strong game for you, and that helped. I mean, I know you hate to get eliminated from the state tournament, but boy, when you win the Diamond Classic, that's almost as good as winning the state championship, isn't it?
Well, I've said many times that there's only four schools that are happy at the end of the season, and of course, like in football, where there could be eight, but the other sports, there's only one school that's happy, and so to win the last game that you play if you're out of it. So we wish the best of luck to Catholic Central and Holt and those schools that are still going, because they still have something to play for, and they still have some excitement left and coming up in the regionals this weekend.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, Pat, when you look at the like a team like East Lansing, they've been a longtime rival of yours, and in just about all the sports, you know, it's not just football, but I mean baseball, but they're a team that rivals you just about in everything. And for them to get in and to go against you, I know when I talk with their coach, Mark Pendred, he said he always looks forward to playing your team because he knows, you know, your teams are well coached and always prepared. And do you look forward to just going against certain coaches and certain teams?
Oh, you know, I think that you know, that's true. Mark and I grew up about 15 miles apart up in Aranac County in the northeastern part of the state. And, of course, I'm quite a bit older than he is. And you know, it has a special bond when you know the same thing. I mean, it isn't that isn't just a one-way street where they respect our program. You know, we respect what they're doing, and so those lead to, you know, good rivalries. And I think that we've got a good competition in the Blue Division, but not only in Blue Division, but with other area programs as well, Earl.
You know, I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, because, you know, it used to be like when you were playing, when I was playing, back in long gone days when things were ancient ages, you know, kids, it was very easy for them to go from one sport to the next sport, on to the next sport. And nowadays it's getting harder and harder because kids have to start specializing early if they want to have some success in one sport. I mean, some kids still try to do two or three sports, even though we see it's not happening as much as it used to.
You know, and in some ways that's, you know, a sad commentary. And the great orthopod surgeon, Dr. Andrews, gave a speech in the Detroit area, and he was calling to mind that a lot of the kids that are specializing, and he believes that it's an increase in the injury factor, and that kids do not vary sports and do not use other muscles, and so we stress those you know, now, I mean, you didn't pitch all winter long. You didn't throw, you know, and now you can go to all these facilities. You can go to camps. They got all these things going on. And you know, throwing a baseball is a lot different than throwing a softball just because of the arm motion. So you could pitch softball probably without, you know, affecting and damaging your arm. But baseball is one that you have to be careful of, and throwing too much, and, you know, not throwing the right pitches, and putting stress on the arm, and trying to do things ends up. We see more surgeries now of our young baseball players than we ever did.
Yes, we do, and that's getting scary because you're right. You know, we've become so specialized, and kids, if they want to get good, there's so much demands on them. I'm not sure if they have enough downtime and enough time to rest, go on vacations and things like that, because they're always doing something. They're always participating in a sport somewhere. I mean, I look at the basketball players and the kids. They play so much basketball. And then during the summer and the off season, during the season, after the season, it's just a ton of ball. And we've got that just about in every sport. If you want to be good in that sport, you're being told by your parents, basically, hey, you got to practice. You got to work at it all the time. And I'm not sure if kids are getting enough downtime these days.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's kind of a societal thing that everybody wants everybody to be perfect and to play, you know, the as a professional level, and for a lot of the young kids and things, you know, they get burnt out because sometimes the parents end up picking the sport that they think they should excel in, and maybe their physical or athletic skills, or maybe even in another area, but. So yeah, it's a catch-22 for our kids to perform and be good at what they do, and yet having any kind of there was hardly ever kids didn't do it 12 months of the year, and they had some vacation time and downtime, and they went to the cottage and they went to the lake and. But they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. That's sad. Hey, Pat, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I know I'll look forward to seeing you out there again at the Diamond Classic next year.
Well, thanks, Earl. It's a privilege to talk to you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Pat. We'll talk to you later on, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Pat O'Keefe, the head coach of the Grand Ledge baseball team who won the 51st edition of the Diamond Classic. And Aaron, they've won it 23 times. And Pat O'Keefe has been the coach for 21 of those of the 23 wins that Grand Ledge has had. They have an awfully good program out in Grand Ledge. Their baseball program has been good for a long, long time.
Yes, sounds like it, especially. I mean, that, you know, that's quite amazing if you think about it, to have a team that great for that long. I mean, man, that's something's going right for them. Obviously, it's a lot of the coaching, and like I think he summed it up pretty well. You know, when you start the kids at a young age and you have the right people around them, yeah, you can build a solid program within the community. And, you know, it's not one of those weird things where you're pushing the kids really super hard and, you know, doing things, you know, the wrong way. They're doing it the right way. The kids are having fun. The parents are involved, the community is involved, so it's all around great, and it, you know, that's great to see, and congratulations to Grand Ledge for sure.
The time, 40 minutes after the off 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
How's this for political satire? A Washington PR man teams up with a flamboyant conservative activist to drum up a threat from China on behalf of an American defense manufacturer and nearly starts World War III in the process. I'm Neil Conan. They eat puppies, don't they? Christopher Buckley joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today, the high will be 75 with partly sunny skies. There is a chance of some rain and thunderstorms. Partly cloudy with a low of 56 tonight. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow, though there is a slight chance of light rain, the high 78, and mostly sunny with a high of 80 on Friday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. Well, as you know, Aaron, the Tigers are still struggling now, 6 games under .500. And I don't know, people are starting to panic and starting to give up. I know I said wasn't panicking yet. I was close to it. But I just don't know what to do. I guess Dave Dombrowski has got to make a trade or a move or something. Or, you know, they could raid the farm system and get some of the other guys up. But they've certainly got work to do if they want to get in the hunt for this title or get to the World Series. A lot of people had already put them in the World Series before they even started playing. And I guess that was a bad idea.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. Especially a bad idea. I don't even know if they know what to do. I think they're trying to figure it out every day, and
yeah.
I don't think they know what to do. I think they have too many problems in too many areas that, you know, even if they fix one area, you know, you still have problems in those other areas, whether it's pitching. No one's hitting, barely. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you know, Cabrera and Fielder are still doing a, you know, adequate job, no problem. But the other guys are hitting. If the other guys are hitting, you can't just produce runs off of home runs.
Yeah.
They lost last night to the Indians 4-2. Like you said, 6 games behind. You know, granted, 6 games really isn't all that much if you think about it as far as baseball is concerned, because you can, you know, if you play the teams that you are behind in your division, you gain 1 game back if you beat them. So, you know, but those half games, you know, when you're not playing those teams. But, you know, I honestly don't know what the answer is. They need help in all phases. So, like you said, maybe they duck down to the farm system, see what they got there. Maybe they make a big trade or something. A friend of mine asked today if we were going to talk about running Leland out of town. I don't know. Maybe that's something he's starting to think about. But I mean, we talked about it before. You can't you can't throw a manager out in the middle of the season like this. That's not going to do anything.
No, it wouldn't help for this year. But I know people think that maybe a new manager would turn things around and that would help them start the winning and get the winning. But, you know, manager's one guy. I mean, he can't hit for any of the guys. He can't pitch for them. I mean, all he can do is put the lineup card out and send it out and send the guys out there. And right now, what he's sending out isn't doing well. I mean, the guys aren't hitting. The pitchers aren't pitching that well. I mean, just think, Verlander, who's pitched well, but he's lost 3 straight games.
Right, exactly. So, and you're right about that. He's not the one making the plays. It's not that they have bad players.
No.
I mean, they got good, solid, you know, players, and they're just not producing for whatever reason. I don't know, you know, if it's got inside their head that, oh, hey, we'll be fine, where everyone's penciled us in for the World Series, we'll get there, and that they don't have to work. I mean, I really don't know. Baseball can be a psychological game for sure. So, you know, whether, you know, things are hurting, you know, getting inside their head, I really don't know. But you're right. You know, the guys just need to step up. They're paid professionals, and they just need to step up and play, and they got to figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes they need help from the coaches and that kind of thing, but the reality is they're there. They're the ones that have to figure it out themselves to produce. And maybe Verlander needs to step up even more. Maybe someone else needs to step up even more, have it maybe just a player meeting or something too. I don't know. We've seen that in the past with teams, but whatever it is, they need to figure it out fast, because they're digging themselves a big hole if they don't hurry up and get some wins.
You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, there's been a lot of talk they should get rid of the hitting coach as well, because he's not doing anything. But the thing is, you know, as a hitting coach, you only have to, basically all you can do is wait for the players to come and ask you some advice, or if you need to change something, then they can give you some things to change if you want to change your stance or change your approach to every pitch, something like that. But for the most part, you just leave them alone, because they if they're doing something, they're okay. They don't need a hitting coach to tell them this or that. But when something's going wrong for you, then you really need the help of a hitting coach. So I'm like you, and like so many of our fans out there, you know, they just don't know what to do. I mean, we just don't know what's the next move. I mean, if you fire Leland in the middle of the season, what happens then? Who do you bring in? You know, do you keep all the same coaches or what? I mean, it's still a strange bedfellow. And then when you think a manager really only has a 10% effect on the games that he coaches. So think, you know, out of 162 games, you'd have a positive or a negative effect on 10% of those games. So it's not that you can do something as well. You know, you just got to take whatever the players give you, whatever they do, because the ball is in their hand, it's in their court. Same thing with basketball. You know, all the coaches, you can only coach what you got. You know, you can't manufacture something and make milk out of sourdough.
Right, exactly. And no, I agree with you there. And I mean, even if they brought someone else in, you know, who's to say that person would step up and do anything? And I think the players, and the rest of the organization respect Leland, and they appreciate him as a manager. So, you know, and I mean, no one's on record saying that they don't like him as a manager. So as far as the players are concerned, so, you know, I don't think there's any problem there. I don't think there's any sort of animosity or anything against Leland. But, who knows what the answer is? I think they're trying to figure that out. You know, we're not there every day seeing what's going on every day behind the scenes. And frankly, I think they're the only ones that know how to, are going to be able to figure that out, and hopefully they can figure it out soon.
Yes, let's hope so. Let's hope that they can, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2:00, right here on WKAR. Well, Aaron, we finally had a team break through and win a road game in the playoffs. The Boston Celtics broke through and won at Miami. I mean, and everyone, I know Miami was an 8-point favorite in the game last night. That caught everybody by surprise. I mean, even though Boston had been playing well, they hadn't been playing that well in Miami, but they had played well in game that second game they lost, when they lost game two, and then they won their two home games. So, you know, we were waiting to see, would anybody break through? Well, Boston has finally broke through. So,
yeah, and they did. They, you know, they won 94-90 last night against the Heat. So, I think Bosch returned last night. You know, he had 9 points, which I wasn't expecting him to return at all in the playoffs. But which, you know, sometimes they got used to playing without him. But
yes. He didn't play in the second half. They should have played him in the second half. I mean, he played well in that limited minutes that he got in the first half, and they said he's okay. So.
Right. Yeah. Which, you know, I've seen it. We've all seen it in the past where, you know, a star player gets injured coming into a playoff or some important type, you know, game, and then they bring him back later down the road, and the team just got used to playing without him, and then they bring him back, and then it kind of screws him up for a game because they, oh crap, I just got used, you know, now there's a different game plan.
Yeah.
Now they have to take a game just to, and you know, during the playoffs here, you can't, like, every game is important. So, yeah, I mean, I honestly expected the Heat to win last night, but the Celtics pulled it off, and I guess we'll. You know, I would expect the Heat to win in the next game to make a very exciting Game 7 for sure.
Yeah, and the question is, can San Antonio, what they play tonight, so can San Antonio get a win? That's for sure, because they're definitely behind the eight ball. I mean, Oakland has really seemed to got their number, have gotten it together now. So that's going to be a tough game. That OC, OKC, and San Antonio should be a tough game tonight.
Right, exactly. Oh, we got a caller coming in.
Okay. Probably our guy Michael, who had called us earlier, probably getting back to us one more time. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. Well, let's we've got Michael. I thought that was Michael, but we're waiting to see who this is calling in right now on AM 870 WKAR. And we have Mr. Tate again. Mr. Tate, how you doing, Mr. Tate?
Pretty good. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Okay.
Good. Hey, I heard you guys speak a little bit about the NBA playoff, a little bit of a recap from the last couple of nights. I just wanted to reiterate a little bit on some of the things that you guys were mentioning. I think that, you know, when it comes down to a guy like Rajon Rondo, who's one of the more premier point guards, you know, yes, in this league, and when you're holding him to 7 points, and the last time they played in that building, he ended up going off for like 44, but it's not just him. It's a collective unit, the group itself, that you have to be more concerned with. And a guy like Kevin Garnett, I guess, I don't know if Miami was, I'm thinking in some ways they were relying a little bit on the help from Chris Bosh, automatically knowing that he wasn't going to be 100%, but maybe, you know, they expected a little bit more out of him, in which I don't think that, you know, should have definitely been the case. But nevertheless, I think that Miami is I'm kind of undecided, but I think it's a good chance that they go into Boston and get the win and then eventually come out in 7. But right now it really looks like that they're done, so I'm going to roll with that for right now. I think Oklahoma City goes down the next two nights as San Antonio goes on and wins the NBA World Championship. Hey, Mr. Earl Robinson, and thank you for having me on, man. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Hey, thanks a lot, Mr. Tate. I'm a little surprised. I've been pulling for San Antonio, and I hope they win it. I like to see. This would be something if the old geezers from both leagues beat you young fellas up out there. You know, Oklahoma City, all their average age, 23 years old, and, you know, they're a good young team. And yet we know the old veterans there, sometimes they're going to be hard to beat to get rid of the wily old veterans.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think no matter who out of all the four teams, I think no matter what combination you have, I think it's actually going to be a great final championship series. So, you know, either way, I think I'm fine with. I'm going to predict, just because Mr. Tate did, I'm going to predict right now. I'm going to have I'm going to guess, actually, since Boston leads at 3-2, I'm going to say Boston's going to pull it out, whether it's in 6 or 7. I don't know. I just think Boston will pull it out. I think Oklahoma is going to win that out. So I think Oklahoma and Boston will be in the final championship.
Okay,
but I could be wrong. I've been wrong 100 times before. So.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. But boy, you know, I'm sort of thinking now, you know, since Boston's behind the eight ball a little bit, that maybe, you know, Miami will get them. But I think Boston, since they took that 3-2 lead, I mean, Miami's really going to have to play them hard. They're really going to have a superlative effort to win Game 6 and to take that to Game 7, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. And, you know, they don't need to – they just need to play their style, play their game. They don't need to try to force – you know, I know it's an elimination game, but they just need to play their game and not rely on just, you know, Wade and LeBron. I mean, I know they usually do for the most part, but, you know, there's other guys on the team, so they can't hog the ball the whole time. Otherwise, they're not going to win that game.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. But how about those Los Angeles Kings, 3-0, one win away from capturing the Stanley Cup. And let's face it, the New Jersey Devils just haven't been in it. I mean, they've been thoroughly dominated by the Kings. And it looks like the Kings are going to – I'll be surprised if New Jersey comes up and wins the game, to be honest with you. I mean, it's hard to believe that New Jersey they got to the Stanley Cup and they haven't been able to do anything in the championship series. So it'll be interesting to see. Can the New Jersey Devils win one game?
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting part of it is whether New Jersey can even pull out a game. Even if they do, I mean, this series is over. I don't know what the exact numbers are for a hockey team to come back down 3-0, but I think in most sports it's a pretty small percentage. So
yes.
I mean, even if they pull one out, I mean, I honestly, the series is over. So I honestly would just rather have LA get it done and over with tonight. But yeah, I expect LA to pull it out actually tonight. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know, I wanted Brodeur to win one final cup because I don't know, you know, with his age, he had a heck of a year. I don't know if he's going to come back next year, but you know, he's a fighter. So I've always been a fan of him and his game, but unfortunately, it didn't go his way, and I expect LA just to pull this one out pretty easily. New Jersey has no answer for them.
Yes, I mean they haven't scored. I mean. LA has led every quarter all the way through. We've had two to one overtime games. They were shut out this last game 4-0. They just can't, like you say, they haven't been able to do anything New Jersey with LA. So we'll just have to wait and see if can LA close it out tonight and send it home and you know and be this year's Stanley Cup champions. That's what we'll have to wait and see. But it sure looks like they're headed that way right now.
Right, exactly, and there's nothing like winning a Stanley Cup at home. So if they can win it at home, oh man, that's the best. Now, I always thought it was a little weird to win the Stanley Cup on the road. The crowd just really isn't into it. You know, it feels like you're kind of celebrating by yourself on the ice, besides the few fans that are there for you. But if they can pull it out at home, there's no greater feeling than winning it right in front of your home crowd. So hopefully they can do that.
Yeah, it's a good chance they will tonight. That's right. Game four of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, as the basketball playoffs are winding down, baseball is getting ready to get into the thick of it. You know, we've already had a little bit of interleague play. We're probably getting more and more of interleague play as we get close to the halfway point and, you know, close to what they're doing in baseball. I mean, it's so surprising that they've done so much this year. And teams that are – it's always funny when the preseason prognosticators come out and they make their predictions. And a lot of times – how close are those predictions? Or how, you know, everyone around here, we know all the preseason prognosticators had the Tigers, you know, winning the division, running away with it, and getting to the World Series. And I know I was saying, hey, I think you guys better slow down a little bit. I know they don't listen to me, but, you know, I was trying to even just a little bit of air and caution. I just never got so excited about only two guys. You know, two guys signed. I don't know why those two guys, you know, yes, they're both good hitters, but could they help win the Tigers win a pennant? I mean, that's what way I see. You add two guys, two premier power hitters, but, all the other parts of the game, they need help in, that's for sure.
Yeah, and an area they've always had trouble with is relievers, you know, and then they knew that their starting pitching had to be spot on, which it's been sketchy this year too, you know, besides maybe Verlander and some of the other few starters. But, you know, yeah, just because you fill up your batting and you think you're going to produce a bunch of runs doesn't mean that your other areas don't need attention. You know, they didn't. I don't think they addressed it as much as they should have in the offseason. You know, they wanted their offense. Well, they got their offense, but yeah, it's not producing. So now it's coming to bite you that you didn't, you know, address it as much in the offseason. You know, your other areas that needed to be fixed as well. But that's the choice they made, and they have to deal with it. And now they're trying to scramble and figure it out, and hopefully they can.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling today. And we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. We're still planning tomorrow's show. I don't think we have everything planned as of yet, but we're looking to get you some more guests. We do have one very special guest tomorrow. We have the Central Michigan coach, Dan Enos, will be with us tomorrow here on AM 870 Sports Talk. So tune in tomorrow. Listen to Dan Enos as he talks about his Chips and how they're going to do against Michigan State when Michigan State comes to play them in the fall. Once again, thanks all for listening, and thank you all for calling. And come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a good evening. I'm Merle Robinson. I'll see you tomorrow.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.